4, verse number 35. The Bible said, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him," the Bible said, "other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. The Bible said that he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful?" Boy, the Lord asked me that over and over. I wring my hands. I try to be that right pastor and that great father and that right husband. But if we'd all be honest, there's times that we wring our hands. There's times that we say, "Lord, why? Why do we have to go down this road? God, why do we have to go through this storm and this battle?" He said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Boy, I'm glad tonight that I know him. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we do love you tonight. Today we thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy. And God, today I pray, God, that you touch us as we stand before your people. I pray, God, that you would give us liberty. I pray that you'd let the words come easily. Hide us behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. As you read down through chapter number 4 and 5 of the book of Mark, I believe that they're treasured chapters. I believe that we can find a lot about the Lord. And I want to talk about those before I get into the message that was in my Bible that the Lord must want me to preach today. Amen. But I'm glad today that through the Lord, not through our flesh or through ourselves, but through the Lord, we can have peace. We can enjoy peace through Him. Hey, if we count upon our flesh, we got to get up each day and look at ourselves and know that we fall short. Ask God to help us. God give us strength for the day. But at the end of the day, we say, "Lord, we fell short. Forgive us. Help us tomorrow." But I'm glad today that the Lord has victory. In this chapter, we find, these two chapters, we find that the Lord has victory over danger. These disciples' lives were in danger. Now, it wasn't really from where the Lord sat. He knew what was going on. He said, "We're going to pass over to the other side." He was so concerned about it that he went and took a nap. But in their mind, they weren't sure they was going to get to the other side when the winds and waves came howling. So they said, "Lord, we're in danger." But I'm glad that the Lord came on the scene. I'm glad that he arose from the nap. And he said to the winds to lay down. And thank God, hallelujah, he can calm the storms in our lives. And all they can do is obey him. Thank God for that. And then we find there's victory over demons. In Mark chapter number 5, we find that maniac. And he's in the tombs. And boy, he's a mess. He's cutting himself. People tried to help him. They tried to chain him down. They tried to help him turn over a new leaf. They'd put him with this club and that club, and they couldn't help. And finally, they took him out to the graveyard, and they chained him. But the Bible said that he broke loose from those fetters. In fact, things were so desperate that he began to cut himself. I mean, he was a mess, but I'm glad the Lord stepped in. He drove out those demons. He saved this man. And this fellow became a disciple of the Lord. He wanted to follow the Lord. I'm glad today that the Lord has victory over danger. I'm glad today that the Lord has victory over the demons. Hey, I'm glad that when Satan said, "I'm going to rise up above the Lord, I'm going to dethrone him," the book of Isaiah says that he was cast out. I'm glad today that we can go to the back of the book when Satan's trying to hound us, when the devil's trying to destroy us. I'm glad we can go to the back of the book and say, "Look, devil, you're a defeated foe. There's nothing you can do about it." Listen, he causes havoc in our lives. I mean, he wants to destroy us, destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our homes. But I thank God today that he's on a leash. There's nothing the devil can't do that he has to go by the way of the throne. I'm glad today that God's still in control. And then we find that he has victory over disease. We find in Mark chapter number 5, those verses 21 through 34, a familiar portion of Scripture. Jairus had came and needed help. And while he was on the way to Jairus' house, there was a woman that came by the throng of people. And the Bible said that she had been with this disease, I believe, 12 years. And she had tried everything. She had tried every physician, every doctor, every remedy that anybody could come up with. And the Bible said nothing helped. In fact, the Bible said that it grew worse. She had spent all that she had. And she was out of money. She was broke. And but the Bible said that she said, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get close enough to touch him, if I can just get where I can get to the Lord, I've been there. Amen. I was there when I was lost. I'm glad I found my way to an old-fashioned altar. I knelt down and asked the Lord to forgive me, come into my heart and save me. Hey, I'm glad that he met me there. I'm glad today that the ground's level at the cross. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter about the color of our skin. It doesn't matter what side of the Wabash River you're from. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks, how much money you've got in the bank. If you call upon the name of the Lord, praise God, hallelujah, he reaches down with grace and mercy and saves us by his grace. Boy, I'm glad for that today. I praise God that we don't have to earn our salvation. But the Bible said that when she touched the Lord, immediately, he said, some virtue, something's happened here. Somebody touched me. I wonder how many people passed by that day. How many people came into contact? In fact, he looked at the disciples and he said, who touched me? And they said, Lord, what are you talking about? A lot of people touched him. Hey, I'm glad that day that I touched the Lord. I'm glad for that day he touched me. I'm glad that he loved me as I was, an old sinner bound for hell, should have been in hell. But he heard my cry. I had a disease. Amen. And I'm not talking about alcohol. That's not a disease. That's a sin. Let's not change the name. Amen. I had a disease. I had a blood problem. I was born of Adam. I was a fallen creature, and I was going to die and split hell wide open. There was no doctor in this world that could help me. And I'd been to doctors, and they'd helped me with a sore thumb and a broken this and that, but there was nobody that could change my blood and change my destination. But that day, when I knelt down, I met the great physician, and he took care of the disease problem. He took me and washed me in his blood. He wiped away all those things that I'd done against him. And now when God looks down from heaven, he doesn't see me as I see me. He sees me as his perfect son. Hallelujah. I don't understand all that, but I thank God for it today. I'm glad I'm covered by the blood. And then I'm glad today that in this chapters, or these chapters, that we find that the Lord has victory over death. As soon as all that transpired with the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus said, now, Lord, what about my daughter? He said, that's right. We need to get back to that. The Lord's so concerned that he has time to help others. So concerned about the disciples that he could take a nap. He said, we're going to the other side. Here he was so concerned about Jairus. You say, well, what's the problem? Wasn't he concerned? No, he was concerned, but he knew that he's the resurrection and the life. Just like Lazarus, it didn't matter if he was 4 days late, he was right on time. And whenever he showed up, it was going to be the right time. I'm glad when God shows up, it's the right time. It's not, I know Brother Nichols is glad y'all are here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad when it's at our church and you show up, but without God, we're in trouble. It's that he shows up, that's when a difference made, that's when lives are changed. That's when souls are saved. That's when homes are put back together and lives are melted. Hearts are broken. It's all about him. Without him, we can do nothing. But I'm glad that he came to that woman. He took some in and he knelt down there beside that girl on the bed and he said, maid, arise. Now you can read it how you want to, but when you translate it, little maiden, I think it is. The Bible said she sat up. He said, get her some food. Well, when you get saved, you'll want some spiritual food. Amen. And the Bible said that when he spoke to her, she came out and she raised from those outside. They didn't understand it. They were mocking it. But I'm glad today that the Lord has victory over death. I'm glad when He died at Calvary. Let me say, He died at Calvary. He didn't go into a trance. He died a brutal and bloody death at Calvary. He died not for His sin, but for my sin. It should have been us that hung there. It should have been you and I that hung in disgrace. But the Lord said, I'll die in their place. And He marched up Calvary's hill. Satan would have destroyed Him there at the whipping post. Satan would have taken His life, but the Lord said, no, I must go to Calvary. I must hang between heaven and earth and die upon the altar of God. And He laid down His life. They didn't take His life. They didn't snuff out His life. I'm glad that He laid it down. I believe when He laid down Brother Goolsby, He put His hand out and said, do what you got to do. And then He stretched out with this one. Now those thieves, they were fighting. Those thieves, they had their hands up here. They said, we don't want to die. Boy, they had to tie ropes and yank them out and drive it through. But the Lord said, I'll die willingly. I believe those driving the stakes said, I wonder why He's willing to die. I wonder why He's willing to just lay out His hands. And one of them might have said, well, I heard Him say that something about the temple. And He said, I've got the power to lay down my life and I've got the power to take it up again. And I think I heard Him say when Pilate said, I've got the power to turn you loose or to crucify you. And the Lord said to him, hey, you have no power but that which is given from above. He said, for this cause I came. He said, you're not going to get my way of dying for mankind. Adam sinned out there. And my desire is to save whosoever. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. Shall call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible said that finally He said, it's finished. He gave up the ghost. And they took down that body. And they laid it in a borrowed tomb. Set guards up. They didn't have to worry about what was coming from the outside. Amen. Life came from the inside. You preach it your way, but I believe He went to the center of the earth, suffered my death, hell, separation. I believe that when He came out, hell enlarged itself because He brought paradise out and He brought with it the keys to death and hell. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the grave was not the end. He did raise 3 days later. He ascended back to the Father. He made our blood sacrifice behind the Holy of Holies. And the Bible said when He's done, He sat down at the right hand of God forever to make intercession for you and I. Now listen, as long as we live in this world, we're affected by death. Death hounds us every day. We get phone calls and we turn on the news, people dying. Folks are dying in Israel. God lift up the nation of Israel. But there's folks dying, and if the Lord doesn't come back, our bodies are going to shut down. Now, we can take all the vitamins. We can do all we want to do. I saw an old fella, looked 70 years old, running down the road, all tanned up, running. And I thought, that poor fella, he's still going to die. Well, I got there and run in that hot sun. Amen. No matter what we do, all the health products, you can buy all the stuff they sell on TV. But the truth is, we're dying. From the moment you were born, your body began to die. And if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back, we're going to die. Brother Nichols, we've laid down loved ones. We've all gone by the way of the graveyard. We've all laid people down and had to walk away. We've all wept. I'm glad when I was pastoring in Atlanta, I had to bury this guy at my first funeral as a pastor. We had to lay down his sweet mom. And I said, Brother David, we're going to have to go down to the graveyard and lay this body down. Brother David loved him. And he said, Brother Brent, I don't know anything about a graveyard. He said, that's not a graveyard to me. That's a resurrection field. He said, because the body I'm going to lay down, that grave's not going to hold. Ooh, I'm glad today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad today that He has victory over death. I'm glad the Bible said that the trump of God's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise up. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. This body it might close here. Our eyes are closed. I believe this. You can preach it your way, but I believe when we open, when the eyes close here, we're going to open and be in heaven. I don't believe we're going to be stuck in the ground. I don't believe we're going to rest someplace. I believe be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. And so when my eyes close here, they're going to open in heaven. I'm going to be in His presence. I hear people all the time say, "Brother Brent, I don't want to die and leave this behind and that behind. I don't want to leave my kids and my grandkids." But listen, when we open our eyes in heaven, we're going to say, "Why in the world did we fight to stay there?" Amen. You imagine getting there. That was really not the message. I'll just give you a thought. I wanted to preach on our Lord today, our matchless Savior. He's matchless. We was talking about the Hope Diamond. There in a museum, they say there's no other diamond like that diamond. That it's worth, its worth is up there, and there's nothing that can come close. There's nothing better. But you realize today in the ground someplace, there can be a rock bigger than that one. There'd be a diamond that outweighs that one is worth more. And therefore to say that it's priceless or it's the greatest, that's really speaking in ignorance because we don't know. Now, I'm from Illinois and I'm a Michael Jordan fan. They say, now you all from over here, you like the Pacers, but most people say he was the greatest. Do you have any North Carolina fans here? I'm not, but I thought you'd get with me if I was saying that. The greatest basketball player ever. Boy, he was. The things that he could do. But who's to say that there's not a kid in Indiana right now standing in front of a barn shooting a ball toward a hoop, practicing that might not do greater things than Michael Jordan, Albert Einstein. They say, boy, that guy's brilliant. Look at all the things that he unfolded in that mind way before calculators and cell phones. I mean, he had it all figured out, and they say intellectually, he's the greatest. There's nobody that can match him. But who's to say that there's not a child somewhere whose mind would dwarf that of Einstein? So to say that he's the greatest, we could be wrong. But I can say this, there's one. His name's Jesus. There's no duplicate. There's nobody that holds a candlestick. There's nobody that comes close. There's nobody that can save. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Just let me give you these today. We'll go to the house. I realize that everybody won't go to the house. There's other preachers after me. I'm sorry. Don't leave. Amen. The Lord said, "Peace be still." And these waves, they laid down. And the disciples who had seen the miracles, the disciples who had walked and talked to Him, they looked at one another that day. And they said, "What manner of man is this?" Now they had seen it all. But they said, boy, He's even more amazing than what we gave credit. I'll give you these. Number one, He's matchless in His person. In other words, He's matchless in His beginning. To say that He had a beginning is wrong, an understatement, because He's always been. He wasn't born in Bethlehem. He was just born into that body. Amen. I mean, He was pre-existent. He's always been. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He's always existed. He always will. He's matchless in His birth. Nobody was born like Him. We were all born of the same way, our parents coming together in love, but the Lord was conceived of the Holy Ghost, of a virgin. He was born sinless and He died sinless. Thank God that His blood was pure. There was no guile. And then He was matchless in His blessedness. The Bible said, "Who did no sin, neither was there guile found in His mouth." Glad He lived that sinless life. And then, He's matchless in His performance. He's matchless in that He died for sin. Thank God that He died for our sin. It took God to buy us back. God had to die. God said, "One must die." You know, if I had died, I'd have died and gone to hell. But Jesus died in my place. So He's matchless in that He died for sin. He's matchless that He defeated death. As I preached, death could not hold him. He's matchless in that he's in his desire to save. God's desire in 2014 is to save souls. That's what the church was here for. We are the vehicle. We're to carry forth the gospel in this dispensation. And we've got a great responsibility. Now, it's our job to present the gospel, to preach the gospel, to live the gospel out in our daily lives. We can't make folks get saved, but it's our job to present it. And God uses that Word of God to draw people. Hey, I'm glad the Word of God makes a difference. I thank God for old preachers that stand up and preach the Word of God, even when it cut me to the quick, even when my lip come out, Brother Elijah would say, you're dying and going to hell. If you die in that condition, you're going to split hell wide open. And one day, the Word of God pricked my heart, arrested my soul, and I walked down and got saved that day. I read about a young man that had committed a crime. Brother Randall, because of that crime, the law said that he had to die. He was cast into a prison, into a dungeon, with a lot of thieves, a lot of horrific people. They announced that the next day he was going to go to the executioner, and his dad came and begged. His dad said, I have but one request. Let me spend time with my son before he dies. After a lot of twisting arms, begging, finally, the jail keeper opened up the prison. He went in, and there's all these gruesome people. And he called out to his son. And finally, he come across a body that resembled his son. And when he looked down, he realized it was him, beaten and battered in terrible shape. He picked him up in his arms, sat down, and held him. They wept through the night. In the night, that boy fell asleep, but the dad stayed awake, treasuring the time together. In the pre-dawn hours, they came for the boy. The guard hollered out that young man's name. The dad laid the boy aside and said, I'm him. That daddy, that morning, walked out and he went to the executioner. He laid down his life. When the judge found out what had happened, he called for the boy. And he said, my goodness, I don't know what happened to Dad, but I'm going to die and Dad's not here. And he walked out. And he said, son, do you know why you're here? And he said, yes, I've been committed to death. I've committed a crime. And they said, I'm supposed to die because of that. And he said, that's right. But he said, you're not going to die today. He said, I'm giving you a full pardon. And the boy scratched his head and he began to wonder. He said, judge, if I might be so bold. He said, why is it that you're going to let me go? He said, son, because your daddy died in your place. I'm glad I've got a heavenly father. And I'm glad his son, the Lord Jesus, died in my place. Everything God's ever done is to bring back man into relationship with him. He's matchless today in his desire to save. I'll give you these two and I'll give it to Brother Nichols. I've got to get papers to quit falling. Number three, he's matchless in his promise. He's matchless in his promise to save us, to support us, and his promise to lead us safely home. I'm glad the Lord's never saved anybody and lost them. Hallelujah. He's matchless in his power. He has power over sin. Thank God we don't. Amen. The only chance we've got is through him, his blood. He's matchless in his power over Satan. Satan's a defeated foe, hallelujah, and he's matchless in his power over the situations of life. No matter what we face, hallelujah, nothing takes him by surprise. God never says, uh-oh, I didn't see that coming. God's in control at all times. In other words, today the Lord has the power to meet your needs. He has the power to heal this body. He has the power to heal that of a loved one. He has the power, praise God, to forgive our past. He has the power to step up and to calm our storm. He has the power to heal our broken hearts. Hallelujah. This world's full of broken hearts. And He has the power, praise God, to move our mountains. What I'm trying to say today is He's matchless. What a Savior that we have. Thank God that He came, was born in Bethlehem, sinless, lived a sinless life, laid down His life, resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Went and sat beside the mercy seat, put His blood there behind the Holy of Holies. And now one day after a while, the Lord God the Father is going to look at the Son and say, Son, the bride's complete. And He's going to sound the trumpet. Woo! Glory to God. We're going to leave out of here. We're going to go to heaven. He's matchless today, Brother Nichols.